This is a true story taken from an actual medical file. Hello?
Major Cornish?
Yes, speaking.
This is Travis from the War Office. I'd like you to come see me as soon as possible, Major. When will it be convenient?
Oh, practically any time, sir.
What about this afternoon, at 3?
Yes, I could be there.
Oh, good man. Meanwhile, you might think over what the travel brochures say. It's very pleasant in France at this time of the year.
Medical file. The story of the men and women whose vigilance guards our lives. A reconstruction of a clinical case history, step by step, with the doctors who were there. His name was James Henry Cornish. He was a major in the Royal Medical Corps. In peacetime, he'd have been a surgeon. In wartime, he had to be so much more. He was 32 years old when this story took place. And now, medical file. London, March the 4th, 1943. From a window of a Whitehall building, a young, tall man looked down on the busy scene below as he spoke to the only other occupant of the room, an elderly, grey-haired man with a military bearing.
That's an interesting proposition, sir. Very interesting indeed.
Well, Cornish, what do you say to it?
You want someone to go to France?
Not just someone. I want a surgeon.
Who has to be able to speak the language.
That's most essential.
And with a knowledge of the country.
You see why we chose to ask you. You were 8 years in France as a schoolboy. Your father was in business over there. You speak fluent French, and you're a surgeon. It was simply a matter of turning up records, and we came to you.
Yes, I see.
The job's completely voluntary, of course.
I understand that. Can you tell me something more about it?
You've heard of the French resistance movement, the Maquis?
Who hasn't?
All I can tell you is that a special group of the Maquis got word through to Free French headquarters here in London that they very badly need a surgeon. Their own doctors in France are being watched by the Gestapo, and for much as they may want to help, there's nothing they can do. The Free French haven't any medical men to spare, and so they passed the request on to us.
I'd go as a civilian, of course.
No, I'm afraid you'd have to, yes. The risks are quite considerable, Major. The rewards... Well, there aren't any for that kind of work.
How soon would I have to leave, sir?
Say, the end of the week.
Short notice.
If you did take it on, the only people we'd ask you to say goodbye to are your parents. I'm afraid you'd have to tell them that you're going to Scotland. You're not married, we understand.
No.
Likely to be?
Not until I find a girl.
Oh, well, no problem there, then. What about friends? Many close ones?
Oh, they're all over the place these days. I can be necessarily vague with those who are in London.
Yes, yes. Well, all this, of course, is assuming you take it on. I could give you 24 hours to think it over, if you like.
Well, I rather knew what was going to be asked when I came here, sir. I made up my mind after your telephone call this morning.
Well, you did?
Yes, those travel brochures you spoke about. Fascinating documents. Quite right, too. It would be very pleasant in France at this time of year. Night for flying.
No, I hope so, yes. No moon, at least. Haven't you know, whenever I see one of you chaps off, I wish I were coming with you.
Do I get told now where I'm going, sir?
Oh, yes, of course, yes. Sorry about those regulations.
I know how these things are.
You're going to the village of Saint-Devaux in the Jura Mountains.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether you're acquainted with the area.
I've never been there. I know where it is.
Yes, well, the plane will approach from the north, following the river. That'll be at over 100 hours.
Yes.
You'll parachute into a field outside the town, and there'll be someone from the Maquis waiting there for you.
Right. Now, what about papers and kit?
Oh, I've got them all here. There's an identity card made out in the name of Pierre Dunant.
Good.
Now, you're a farm worker from the vineyards at Au Château. You'll find a personal history in there.
Read it, learn it off by heart, and then destroy it.
Right.
Here's the kit. We made it as light as possible in the form of a padded vest, so you can wear it under your coat.
Very neat.
It's fleecy lined, too. Keep you warm. The pockets and pouches are rubber lined in case you land in the river.
What supplies have I got, sir?
Scalpels, some clamps, surgical dressings, hypodermics and morphia, and sodium pentothal.
Good, I'm glad about the pentothal. I don't imagine we'll have hospital facilities.
Are the Germans heavily occupying the area? No, I don't imagine you will.
So the pentothal's going to be useful. It's a fast anesthetic. Now, what about a continuation of supplies? I don't want to get things nicely organized and then run out.
The Maquis are in regular touch with Free French headquarters here in London. The moment you're running low, advise them. Now, we'll package everything you need and land it by parachute.
Right. Me, sir.
Yes?
Pilot's ready for takeoff, sir.
Oh, right. We mustn't keep them waiting. Cornish, I don't need to tell you. Over the other side, you're completely on your own.
I understand that, sir.
Look after supper, boy. Best of luck.
Thank you. Goodbye, sir.
p.m., March the 8th, 1943. A lone British plane took off from a quiet airfield outside London. A few minutes later, it crossed the Channel, dark and current swept below the stars. 15 minutes past midnight, and the navigator signaled to the aircraft skipper, and he in turn pointed out what lay below to his single passenger.
And there it is, Major, right over the Jura Mountains.
Is that strip the river down there?
Yes. Follow it for another 20 miles. I won't be long, though. Parachute adjusted?
Yes.
Have you done this sort of thing before, Major?
No. This is my initiation.
For me, I'll stick to the sky. Too many gents in steel helmets down there.
It's not them. It's the ones in plain clothes I'm to worry about.
Oh, well, lots of luck.
Thanks.
You'd better go back there and get ready. I'll give you a signal when we're over Sandevo.
11:35 p.m. A high plane circled over the village of Sandevaux, circled, and then turned for home, and dipped its wing in salute as a figure from the open doorway plunged downward into the dark. Plunged, and then drifted as the silk parachute billowed out above and brought Major Cornish safely to ground. He landed in a swamp, in a field outside the village, but there were eager, waiting hands to help him to safety.
Steady, Missy. Careful.
Oh, I'm all right. I fell with a bit of a bump. I just gave my breath back.
Yeah, wait till I try to feed the steps.
That's better. Much better. Merci.
Jeanette, you and Jacques take the parachute. It must not be left here to be found.
Well.
And now, monsieur, you understand we must be very, very careful. Mm-hmm. Would you be so kind as to tell me your name?
My name is Pierre Dunant.
And you are from where?
From Auchaton.
What is your work?
I'm a farm worker from the vineyards. I've come to Sandevaux to look for other jobs because the grape crop is bad this year.
Thank you, monsieur. And now, Major Cornish, on behalf of my friends, may I welcome you to France.
March the 10th, 1943. In a small farmhouse outside the town of Sandevaux, Major James Henry Cornish, now Pierre Dunant, met the men and women with whom he was to work in the months ahead. He found the small Maquis group was the center for several of the resistance movements in the area that stretched across the many towns and villages of the entire Jura mountain range. Just like any doctor setting up in his profession, this area became his practice. 6 months was to tell him just how vast his practice was. For in 6 months, he travelled hundreds of miles, usually by night. He performed both minor and major operations, and never once saw the inside of any hospital. For these 6 months, he worked in the shadow of danger, operating in forest clearings, in farmhouses, sometimes even in the heart of occupied towns where wounded underground fighters lay too sick to be moved. The fame and the legend of the Marquis surgeon began to spread to many different places.
Oh, Pierre, I don't like it. You're becoming too famous. The latest we hear, the Gestapo have offered a reward for your capture.
Oh. I suppose I should be flattered, Jeanette.
Oh, it makes me afraid for you. Wait a minute.
Jeanette, open the door, quick. We have a sick man.
Oh, it's yours.
Quick, get the door unbolted. Come in. Oh, here, let me help you. Put him down here, on the sofa. That's it. Well, let's have a look at this chappy. Open his shirt up. Yes. A bullet wound. I'm afraid he's lost a lot of blood.
Can I boil water for you?
Yes, you can do that. Oh. No, no, Jeanette. Wait a minute.
What is the matter, Pierre?
This man's desperately ill. I'm afraid he needs an immediate operation.
So, you give it to him, like all the others?
I'm afraid this one may be different to the others. I think if we're going to save this man's life, we have to get him to a hospital. Right away.
To a hospital?
But they are all in German hands.
I'm sorry. It's got to be a hospital.
We return to Medical File.
But, Pierre, we cannot take him to a hospital.
He's in a really bad way. Who is he?
His name is Mathieu, François Mathieu. His father is a farmer at Boulogne.
Stomach wound.
He was shot by a German patrol.
Lower abdomen.
Doctor.
Hello, old chap. You've had a bad time, but we're going to do our best for you now.
I've been all night.
All night? Since this happened?
He was wounded late yesterday afternoon, Pierre. I was not with him, but Andre was. They had to stay in the forest until the patrol had given up the search. And afterwards, Andre half carried him to his father's farm.
Yes, this explains a lot.
Look, they dared not venture out last night. So they made Francois as comfortable as they could. This morning they contacted me. Well, look at him, and I said, oh, this is a job for you.
I wish he'd been brought here 12 hours ago.
It's not possible. You can extract a bullet, Pierre.
There's more to this than getting a bullet. If it were only that, I could do it here.
What else is here?
Wait a minute. Francois. Can you hear me?
He's trying to nod his head.
I hear.
Now, don't be alarmed. I'll be as gentle as I can. Tell me if this hurts.
No.
Doesn't hurt good. Now, what about here? No?
No.
And here? That's the spot, is it? All right, Francois. We'll do our best to look after that for you.
Pierre, what is it?
I think he's developed peritonitis.
Peritonitis.
Wait a minute, old chap. Look, Jules. Every minute is important now. He needs an immediate operation.
The water will soon be boiling.
So he has to have this immediate operation. There you have the answer, Pierre.
What answer?
The water will soon be boiling. Jeanette will sterilize the instruments. I will help like other times. And we will do what we can.
It won't be anywhere near good enough. The bullet has to be removed, yes, but more important still, the area has to be drained. We haven't the equipment to do it. After that, he needs days of rest and constant watching. He needs all the careful nursing he can get.
We could not give him that here at the farmhouse. Why, in a minute we might get word the German patrols are searching for us. We would have to move.
But no hospital.
I wonder.
Ah, Jeanette, you must be mad even to think.
Just a moment, Jules. How many men can we get?
Oh, it is absurd to talk of it.
Yes, but how many?
Well, perhaps 100.
Oh, it's now just after 9. How soon must we operate, Pierre?
I'd like to operate now. But if we had a chance of getting him to a hospital, I could wait till, say, noon at the latest.
Yes, noon. Jules, from now till then, the main German patrols will be out on the roads. That means only a few will be on duty at the headquarters, the town hall. Are you listening, Jules?
Oh, I'm listening, Sherry, to the ravings of someone who's lost her reason.
But don't you see? 50 men with machine guns could take over control of the town hall, and another 50 could guard the hospital.
Do you really think there's a... Oh, it is sheer madness, risking all those lives for the sake of one man. How long would the operation take?
About an hour?
Oh, no, that's too long.
Well, 10 minutes less, perhaps, no more. Are there trained nurses at the hospital?
Oh, yes.
Loyal?
No, they would do what we ask, if we ask it.
There's one point that matters more than anything else. It's no use risking our lives to do the operation if we have to leave him there for the Germans to find.
No. And if they do find him...
Yes. Yes, he'll have to be hidden where he can be looked after by someone trained. What about the nurses' home? Any chance?
Yes, I think so. The important thing is for the Germans not to know why we have taken over the village. For them not to guess an operation was performed.
But how can we keep it from them?
I think there is a way.
How, Jules?
We send a few men to sabotage the telephone system in the village. That way, they will be far more concerned about their communications. Perhaps they will not realize the hospital was taken off it.
Uh-huh. Yes, it would be good, Jules. But you must remember, we cannot trust everyone at the hospital.
No. Very well, then. Let it be known to all at the hospital, we performed an operation there.
Yes.
But except for a few special nurses, the rest will think the patient was taken away with us from the hospital.
If we hide him in the nurse's home, can that be kept a secret?
No, the matron of the hospital still has her own private quarters, and the matron is one we can trust without fear.
Right. You two seem to have it pretty well worked out. At the same time, if we're going to the trouble of taking over the town... It seems a pity not to make a really smash job of that telephone exchange, doesn't it?
it is a good thing, mon ami, that when we ask for a doctor, they send us a man like you. All right, we will send some men to smash the exchange and do a good job. Now, Pierre, there is a hay cart at the back of the farmhouse.
Yes?
Jacques will harness the horse, and you and Jeanette will bring the patient into town. By the time you arrive there... We will have taken over.
September the 6th, 10:20 a.m. In Saint-Devaux, small groups of farm workers started to arrive and began systematically taking over the town. In his office, the local commandant was talking on the phone.
Ah, eine gute Idee, mein Freund. Und werden die zwei Fräulein mit uns kommen? Mein Elsa in Berlin hat ja nichts dagegen, wenn ich mich ein bisschen bequem mache in Frankreich, ja. No, warum nicht? Ja, mein Freund. Wart, einen Moment. Was wollen Sie hier?
Bitte von dann, Herr Kommandant.
Was heißt das? Was?
I do not care to speak your language and you do not speak mine, but I understand you speak English and so do I. So bitte von dann.
What is the meaning of this?
Tell your friends and businesses come up. Say goodbye.
Goodbye. Heinz, ich muss jetzt aufhängen. Auf Wiedersehen.
Now, put it down. Quick.
How dare you? What are you all doing here? Get out! Well, go on, get out!
No.
I'll have your necks for this. Sergeant Gross!
The sergeant is outside with a sandbag on his head. He's going to be sick in the morning.
What do you want? What do you want with me?
I would like your throat, mon capitaine, but for your life there would be 100 Frenchmen die, and you're not worth the price.
Your resistance, swine. Is that it? The Marquis?
Aye. You and Robert, watch him. Rest of you, come with me. Come on, now, hurry. We have a lot to do.
September the 6th, 10:45 a.m. The Marquis force had taken over the town. A bewildered group of German officers were held in close custody at the town hall, while keen-eyed machine gunners of the Marquis eyed the approaches to the village. At 10:50 a.m., a hay cart rumbled into Saint-Devaux, led by an ancient horse. It stopped before the hospital. A patient on an improvised stretcher was taken in through the front entrance. And the surgeon, dressed in peasant farm workers' clothes, hurriedly washed and donned a white gown and mask.
What's happening in the town?
Everything is quiet. The exchange no longer works. I think you have an hour.
Thanks for coming through on this.
Ah, we are crazy. So much for one man.
Yes, we're all crazy. But it's the kind of craziness that counts for something, Jules.
Oui. I think it does.
Pierre.
Jeanette. Is the theater ready?
The nurses have the patient prepared.
What about the German doctor?
Oh, it couldn't be luckier. He's away in Paris for 2 days. But there is some trouble.
Where is he?
Monsieur?
Ah, the Englishman. So you take over the hospital, do you?
Stay out of this, Durand.
He forbids us to operate.
No, I don't talk to you. I talk only to the Englishman.
What do you want, monsieur?
I can handle this one, Pierre. We haven't time to stop and argue. The patrols are still out, and our gunners are covering the approaches should they return. But for the sake of the townspeople, we want to avoid shooting, so I take care of this one.
Now, wait a minute, Jules. Who are you, monsieur?
My name is Duval, the hospital secretary. I forbid you to proceed with this operation.
Why?
Oh, doctor, you are a man of education and understanding. You can see my position. The Germans will learn of this and they will accuse me, Duval, of collaborating with you.
Maybe someday somebody else will accuse you of collaborating with them.
Yes, you're in a bad spot, Duval.
You see, monsieur le docteur.
Yes, I see very well. And we'll have to get you out of it somehow. Now, let's see. Yes, I think this should do the trick.
Wait, gentlemen.
I am sorry about this, old man, but we don't want to see you shot by the Nazis. Do we?
Mark, yeah.
Tough on the poor chap. But that should convince the town commandant that he didn't help us. Lock him in here and let's get on with the operation.
September the 6th, 11:15 a.m. The operation on the critically ill resistance member was begun. For more than 30 minutes, there was silence in the theater as the surgeon worked, only his brief orders punctuating that silence. The trained team of nurses forgot the quiet intensity of the town outside. They forgot all but the job in front of them, while the bullet was removed. And then, 11:47 a.m.,
all right. We'll stitch up now. He's come through the operation well. From now, it depends on the rest and care he can get for the next 10 days.
Twelve oh one p.m., the wound was stitched, the patient removed to the nurse's home. 30 minutes later, the Marquis force had left the town. Not one shot had been fired by either side from the moment the brief occupation first began. The patient remained hidden in the nurse's home for a total of 14 days, during which time he made rapid progress. On September the 20th, he returned to his parents' farm. And as for the surgeon, known as Pierre Dunant, for almost another year he worked with the resistance groups, carrying out hundreds more operations, repairing wounds, setting broken limbs, extracting bullets, operating in the forests where the Marquis lived, in farmhouses, cellars, and cattle sheds, all kinds of unlikely places. Today, a surgeon in civilian life, you never pictured Jimmy Cornish as the man who had lived those months with danger and death. There'd be nothing to distinguish him in a crowd, nothing to point him out, except perhaps if you looked closely above the pocket of his coat at a slim and unimposing ribbon he wears almost every day. If you knew, you might recognize it as the ribbon of the Légion d'Honneur, France's tribute to a gallant surgeon and a gallant man. Medical File is the documented story of the men and women who in city hospitals, research centers, and lonely surgeries guard our lives. As Major James Henry Cordish, you heard John Bunny, with Charles Tasman, Milpa Zaracosta, Alexander Archdale, Hans Eisler, Don Pasco, and Leon Pierce. Medical File is written by Peter Yeldham and directed by John Saul for Grace Gibson Radio Productions.